Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is the great, the great I am? Did you know?
Well, Merry Christmas, a little ahead of time, but I'm going to be telling that to you for the next 3 Sundays. It's coming fast, and we're already thinking about it. Trees are up, people are shopping, people are doing their thing. What am I going to get for my kids? What am I going to get for my grandkids? What am I going to get for my husband? He don't need anything. He has everything, right? Same with her. It's hard to figure it out, you know. You got everything you need. What do you need? Well, you all have plans for Christmas. Anybody here literally flying by the seat of your pants? You don't have any plans? You're just going to go with the flow? Anybody? I see one. Good. That's great. I wish you could see a whole bunch of you. But we all have plans, and we expect those plans to come to fruition, right? Well, I want to talk about Mary today, and I've entitled the sermon, Mary's Christmas. And the reason I have is because Mary had plans too. Mary was planning on getting married. She was planning on that wedding day. She was looking forward to that moment when her betrothal to Joseph would come into being, and they could begin their life together and perhaps have children. And what a wonderful thing. That all laid out. The plans were all set to go. And then something happened. Something happened. We want to get into that just a little bit, but I want to say this. Two friends were discussing family histories. When one of them lamented and said he knew very little about his roots, others also wanted to have my family history traced, he said, but I can't afford to hire somebody. Any suggestions? And the guy said, sure, run for public office. Now look, politicians know they'll have little privacy. All right? And when they run for office, everything is out in the open. Their family history becomes public domain. So it was with Jesus just as well. As the Savior of the world, the Messiah, he too could not escape that scrutiny of what was happening about him, his life, his family, his mother, and so on. And it could mean a huge disgrace. It could mean even stoning for adultery. Think about it. An unwed woman bearing a child was a disgrace. And stoning was usually the end result when the elders found out that she was pregnant without a husband. So we're going to learn a few things about Mary today, and we'll see how her world, much like ours, and maybe a little bit about having faith in a world like the one we live in today. Okay? A police officer pulled over a guy for speeding and had the following exchange. Officer, may I see your driver's license? Driver, I don't have one. I had it suspended when I got my fifth DUI, driving under the influence. Officer, may I see the owner's card for this vehicle? Driver, it's not mine, I stole it. Officer, the car is stolen. Driver, that's right, but come to think of it, I think I saw the owner's card in the glove box when I was putting my gun in there. Officer, there's a gun in the glove box? Yes, sir, that's where I put it after I shot and killed the woman who owns this car and stuffed her in the trunk. Officer, there's a body in the trunk? Yes, sir. Hearing this, the officer immediately called his captain. The car was quickly surrounded by police. The captain approached the driver to handle the situation to find out what's going on. Captain said, sir, can I see your license? Sure, the driver said, here it is, it's valid. Captain, whose car is this? Well, it's mine. Officer, here's the registration. Could you slowly open your glove box so I can see if there's a gun in it? Oh, sure. There's no gun in there. Sure enough, there was nothing in the glove box. Captain, would you mind opening your trunk? I was told there's a body in it. No problem. The trunk was open. No body. The captain says, I don't understand. The officer who stopped you said you told him you didn't have a license, stole the car, had a gun in the glove box, that there was a dead body in the trunk. And the driver said, yeah, I bet he told you I was speeding too. So listen. What would you do if you were that officer? Well, go nuts, you know, tear your hair out if you had any to tear out, scream. You know, I want to. The reason I gave you that little story is because I don't think we have even a clue how Mary must have felt in that day after having this experience with the angel, thinking to herself, perhaps, maybe I'm going crazy. Who's going to believe what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing? It was not a common thing in that day for an angel to appear, and especially to a lowly woman. And so there must have been some tremendous reaction on her part. Think about that for a moment. Here's Mary, perhaps thinking of marriage, preparing for the big day, already pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, dreaming of driving the family SUV with kids arguing about who gets to sit in the front of the camel. And, you know, the perfect patient mom. Then an angel appears. What would you do if I come and told you, I just saw an angel and he told me I'm going to be the mother of a baby who would be the Messiah? Who would believe you? Who would believe you? Most ordinary people would kindly suggest or say gently, you better have a talk with Reverend so-and-so down the street. Or maybe you should see someone about these things you think you're seeing that can help you with this problem. You know, when things like these happen, we tend to say, well, it's kind of a dream. It's okay. They've been under a lot of stress. If you were to come and tell me, and I've had people do this, by the way, that God spoke directly to you and that he stood in front of you at the foot of your bed. I had a lady tell me this. Stood in front of the foot of her bed and said, God spoke to me directly. It was Jesus. He was standing there. I saw him. What was my first reaction? What would be yours? Would you patiently listen and believe what she had to say? Or would you say something like, well, dear, I know you've been under a lot of stress recently, and you probably did think you saw something, but I'm just not sure that it's what you said. Just not real sure. Maybe we need to go together and see the doctor. You know, if it were a pastor saying that, you might say, well, you know, ministry is really stressful. He didn't get much rest last night. Maybe there's a problem here. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's a dream. Maybe too much turkey. You know, we're still eating turkey from Thanksgiving. Or eggnog. Maybe we had too much of that. Maybe we didn't have enough coffee in the morning to get our day started. Too little sleep. You know, what I was actually doing in getting ready for Christmas, I was watching this DVD, and it was about how the Grinch stole Christmas and A Wonderful Life and The Christmas Carol all back to back. So I didn't get to bed very early. This angel's entrance was not a welcome entrance. It was a shocking entrance. It was an unbelievable experience. It was something unexpected. That's why it says that Mary was troubled. Others say she was perplexed. This is not normal. People don't see these things and hear these things. It doesn't only say she was troubled. Look at verse 29. It says she was greatly troubled. Greatly perplexed. What kind of greeting is this going to be? When an angel comes and says, "Hello there, favored one of God." What? If you went home today, walked into your house, sat down, and you had your lunch, and you were all set and relaxing for the afternoon, and all of a sudden there was a bright light and one person standing in front of you who's shining like a star of heaven, and that person said to you, "Hello," saying your name, "favored one of God," what would you think? What would you think? You know you. How can I be favored of God? I'm a human being. You know what I'm involved in? You know what I've done in my life? You know, how can I be one? What kind of salutation is this anyway? Worried about this one. Perplexed about it. Troubled about it. And I really think that what happened is when this was all taking place, she immediately reminded of what I call a 3D world. That of dangerous, dark, and troubled. Okay? Dark world. Dangerous world. Dark, yes. All of a sudden, due to this angelic visitation, a huge crisis hits Mary's world, and her world changes dramatically. As you investigate her world and ours, right alongside it, it appears that there are many similarities between our world and the world of Mary's time, and we feel greatly troubled. Her country was under military occupation by the Roman Empire, and that makes life a 3D life, dicey, dangerous, and dark. All right? And now she must have thought under the strain and stress, "I am going insane. What is this? What's happening here?" Now listen. Today we have suicide bombers, retaliatory strikes, Iranian threat, terrorist threats, AIDS epidemic, illegal drugs trade all over the place. This fills up our newscast daily. We hear it all the time. And this is this not a greatly troubled world in which we live? Just when you think you can get away from some peace, something happens. Ask those many people who fell violently ill from the attacks of diarrhea and vomiting and stomach pain from the Norwalk virus on the cruise ships. They were there to have a great time. A lot of fun. Traveling, relaxing, getting away from the kids, getting away from life, as it were, on this wonderful ship, paid a lot of money, and then became very, very ill. Or maybe some of the more recent ones that have taken place. I was just reading the other day how another cruise ship has been hit with tremendous sickness, and they're still trying to figure out what's causing it, what's happening. Where is that safe place? There seems to be an increase of these attacks on cruise ships in the past year, going on holidays. You say, no longer a safe thing to do. Just ask the tourists of Mombasa, Kenya, and Bali, and Indonesia. Ask the Canadians who travel in the Philippines. They say that their own embassy is being shut down as travel advisories are being issued. And just when you think you can retreat into the safety of your home, We find, as in the lovely suburbs of California, also in Sydney, Australia, powerful brush fires destroying houses and cars and people's lives in this past week. Time and time again, we have stories of domestic violence in supposedly well-adjusted families. Just when you feel okay, I admit I'm sick, I need help, I want to get healthy, and we go into our hospitals and our nurses and our doctors are overworked, greatly troubled, resulting in longer waits for medical help all across the United States and Canada. Experts in the field are saying this is a recipe for disaster, folks. Then you say, let's live in a small community far away from possible terrorist attacks, overcrowded hospitals, and then we find the Inuit of Davis Inlet, Labrador. They have an alcoholism rate of 80%. One of the highest suicide rates in the world, and an epidemic of gas sniffing among young children. A whole generation of people can be wiped out. Then some say, well, let's get into the world of sport. How greatly troubled can you get? The most is spending a couple of minutes in the penalty box if you're greatly troubled, right? But you hear the story of 15-year-old Jason Rasuti, a member of the Kelowna Midget AA all-star hockey team. He hung himself in Surrey motel room one Saturday night after being caught with pot, and apparently he thought his life is over and he'd never play hockey again, and so he decided to end it all. It is a tragic statement to hear the father of this young man say he lived for hockey. He loved to play hockey. It seems living for sports is not the answer to this problem either. These things reveal a crisis of hopelessness in the world in which we live. Then you say, well, let's go to church. Well, few Sundays back, an evening service in Westmount Baptist Church, they were having a Christmas concert. And it's a tradition for that church. They all come together. They enjoy the fellowship. And folks stayed behind to have a Christmas party together as a congregation afterwards, but something happened that would rock the world of that church. Pastor of the church reported a lady from our church and her four friends that came with her were killed instantly when they turned into a path of a westbound semi just as they were leaving Karenport into the highway. Many of the Westmount people stayed at the scene of the accident. There is grief, there is sorrow, there is crisis, there is threat everywhere you look in the world around us today. It seems people in churches are not immune to pain or crisis. Do we not also live in a 3D world? Greatly troubled. So how can this year's Christmas be merry when we think of all these things? Well, when I look at the Bible and I find Mary's friends and family and countrymen suffered through some of these pretty similar, unstable, troubled times, both politically, economically, and though none is mentioned in our Bible text, I'm quite sure the same maladies of tragedy, illness and death, financial worries must have been a part of their daily and personal lives as well, because lives haven't changed that much. For instance, the terror of crosses hanging outside their towns reminded them each day of the brutal reign of the terror of the Romans. As they look around them, there seems to be little or no control over their future. They could feel the 3Ds in a real way as they smell the air of death surrounding their lives. And then Gabriel enters the picture and greeted this young woman as one who was favored by God. Greeting you who are favored, highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now think about this. Wouldn't it be great to have an angel bearing a message from God to come and visit you and give you a message similar to that? How many of you have ever said in your life, you know, if God would just come down and talk to me. If He'd just come down and I could talk to Him face to face. If I could just have a conversation with Him as He would stand right here in front of me. Well, here's His representative standing in front of this young woman saying to her in this world of danger, when she had only one beautiful thought in mind, and that was getting married, having a family, growing up children, and so forth. And here comes the angel and says, "Hello there, you, highly favored of God." That had to be a real struggle for her to hear that. Now, here you have confirmation that there is a God. All questions about God answered as you have the attention of an angel. Here he is, standing right in front of you. After all, you've just been notified that you're specially chosen by God, and not just favored, but highly favored. Well, listen, for Mary, the highly favored of God, whom the angel declared the Lord is with you, tells us that she was troubled. She was struggling with this whole thing. She was perplexed about this whole thing. You know, she must have almost gone out of her mind in this whole thing. Fast forward to the future. She would have a child out of wedlock. Tell me how scandalous that would be in the day in which she lived. Then to have to face the pain of disappointment and confused husband who didn't know what to do with her because of what's going on. And then on top of that, down the road, this whole idea of getting married and having a family was just blown apart. What's to come next? And then we haven't even talked about the ridicule and the terrible looks that she would get by other women in the village. Because of what had happened here. The stares. Seeing her pregnant before her marriage to Joseph. And then later being forced by the hated Romans to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of government census. Just to become a number and be numbered. Paper pushing, unfeeling bureaucracy. What a joke. Especially when you can only waddle and not walk. And she was pregnant and she couldn't walk. She could waddle. And all of this came at a time when she was planning something wonderful for her life. And the angel stood in front of her and said, "Highly favored one, you found favor with God." Now listen. Especially, her son would be executed as a criminal. I don't know that we could even get a grasp on this kind of a picture to understand what was going on in her mind, in her heart. This was Mary's Christmas. There's no wealth, no recognition, no royal title for Mary, who would be the mother of the man whom Gabriel said would be king, and whose kingdom would never end. But there's no evidence of that kingdom anytime soon in that little baby and carrying that baby. That sure doesn't sound like being highly favored. When things have gone wrong in your life and haven't gone according to plan, and you said to God, why did you let this happen? This doesn't look like you're looking out for me. It doesn't look like you're looking out for my life. How can I be your child and you treat me this way? You let these things happen to me. Mary was human. Very much so. We can't even begin to imagine the stress and the trouble and the struggle in them and all that was going on spiritually, emotionally, and physically in her world. We cannot. Let me remind you of Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without faith in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave Him great pleasure. Now listen, in that those verses, we, you, I, are the ones who are called greatly favored. And you're sitting here wondering, why did He let that happen to me? Why did my life go down that path instead of the one I'd planned? Now, I hesitate to say what I'm going to say next because I know what happened when I said it the last time. I said a year ago, actually in 2017, in at Christmas time in 2017, I preached a sermon on interruptions. You remember that sermon? How God interrupted Mary's life and Joseph's life and what have you. And I've always told you, God always makes me live out what I preach. And right after that, I got violently ill. Ended up in the hospital for 2 months. That was not planned. That was an interruption of my life. This young woman's life was totally turned upside down and interrupted in relationship to what her plans were and what it was that she was looking forward to. And then in Ephesians, we're told, you've been chosen. You are the highly favored. You are the one whom God loves. You are the one that He's bringing into His family. You are the one. And then you look at your life and say, it doesn't fit. It just doesn't seem to fit. My life is not turning out the way I planned. I've got news for you. When we first go into our life as young, we grow up enough to begin to have any sense at all and know about what's going on in life, we start planning. Things we want to do, things we want to be, where we want to be, we start planning. And it goes right on up through the point where we get married, we have children, we keep planning, and all these plans are going forward. And every now and then something detours and we go a different path than we expected. We didn't plan for that. Our plan was distorted. We got a distraction. We're going a different path. How can this be? I believe in God. He is my Lord and Savior. I trust Him. So what's He doing? What's He doing? Especially when He comes and tells me that I'm favored and I'm chosen by Him to do something that is totally out of the ordinary. And something that the world will look on as scandalous. And something that the world will never let me forget as long as my son is alive, and that is the fact that he was illegitimate in their minds. And the leaders talked about it openly. We know where this man comes from, you. He's from Nazareth. We know who his father is. Well, actually, we don't know who his father is, because he was born before Joseph was married to Mary. That was Mary's Christmas. Listen, will you remember this Christmas? Regardless of what's happening in your life, regardless of what you may be facing, maybe somebody just told you some bad news. Maybe they said you've got some kind of disease that may take your life. Maybe something else has happened and you've gone financially into a place that looks like there's no recovery. Whatever it is, relationships, situations, finances, etc., will you remember something in the middle of all this? You are highly favored of God. You are chosen of God. Can you do that? Can you trust Him? I say you can. The Word of God says you can. And Mary, in her response, says you can. She simply, in her own words, turned around and said, "May it be as you said. I'm simply a bondmaid." Paul talked about himself as a bond slave. The king has chosen you. The king has blessed you and favored you. And you look around and you say, "I'm looking for it, I'm looking for it. Where has he favored me?" He has favored you and I so many ways. But more importantly than anything, he chose us to bring us into his kingdom and to have life with him forever. That little baby born in a manger, and we talked about that scene last week, it's not something that we think that it is so often. Our idea of it is all romanticized. It was not an easy scene. It was not an easy thing. But then that child was born. And the angels sang about his birth. After talking to the shepherds. What a glorious thing this is. He's bringing peace to the world. And we say, where? Where? It's yet to come. It's yet to come. Wait on his timing. Because his timing is absolutely perfect. So he says to you the same thing he said to Mary. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid what's facing you. Don't be afraid of those things that seem to be obstacles in your life. Don't be afraid to trust God. He's chosen you. You are highly favored. And as Israel learned, they were the apple of his eye. So are you. He died for each one of you individually. He came as a baby and went through all this stuff. And Mary went through what she went through. And Joseph went through what he went through. In order that a Savior might be born that would carry a message of hope and life and love and life-changing message for millions of people who would trust him. Was it a pretty scene? No. Was it easy? No. Was it terrifying at times? Absolutely. But it was God's plan. And it would always bring about the results that he wanted to bring about. Which is that mankind, in all this 3D world that we live in, swirling about us, in the middle of that, he has said to you, don't be afraid. I've chosen you. I've favored you. And I will bless your life. And as we come into this Christmas season, we come with an understanding that he gave everything. You know, I've thought about this. Why did he send the Savior the way he did? And why did he call him a Savior? You know, if the greatest need that we had was information, he would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, then he would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was to live, to have life, and to be saved from death. And he sent a Savior to do that. Now, did he teach while he was here? Of course he did. There were a lot of things that he taught before he went to that cross. His disciples who have passed it on down through history that you and I are blessed by. The very fact that we have a dozen of these in our house is a blessing from him. And most of us do. We have more than one. I quit counting mine because I got too many. I don't read them all. They all say the same thing. So I read one that I study out of, another that I use to compare. But it's a blessing from God. It's his message to us. It's the hope of the world. And it came from a Savior who came for each one of us. Our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. He knew there were times then and times now when the uncertainty and the severity of the events of the world would overwhelm us. God knew kingdoms and powers would rise to power, that leaders of these human kingdoms would grow strong, overwhelm and overpower others, that these kingdoms would gather followers of falsehood, and thus the same kingdoms would oppress and hurt people. Then, after the damage they'd done, the kingdoms would crumble and fall. Check out history. God knew we needed a new kingdom where hope, real peace can be found. And in Jesus, all mankind have an opportunity to know and be a part of that kingdom through Jesus Christ and that early Christmas that Mary had. Christmas for us ought to be and is knowing how to live and to walk by faith in God and trusting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins forgiven and living in the joy of the Lord now and every day of every year that we live until we go home to meet with him. The central figure in our story today really isn't Mary, even though we've talked about her. Not even the angel Gabriel. The central figure in our story is the gracious and loving God who gave his son, Jesus, whose birth is the promise of God's redeeming love. Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary was favored and chosen by God to play a role in this redemptive process. Was not easy. Was not hard. And we might even go so far as to say it was not kosher. It was not acceptable in the society in which she lived. And so we are favored by God to tell the impossible story that God loves the world, that he gave his only son to be born of a woman. Maybe, just maybe, Mary knew what makes Christmas is God's desire to enter into the lives of ordinary people living in a threat-filled world. Christmas is about God entering our ordinary world, folks. And it is about the willingness and the openness of ordinary people to let God in. Trusting his favor having faith that God's blessing will show itself in daily life. I wonder if we can just grasp hold for how difficult that first Christmas was for Mary. And I wonder, can we understand just a little the magnitude of the impact of Gabriel's message to her when he stood before her, and how it would affect the future? That's why I had him play that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" There's a lot more verses could be added to that. Mary, did you really know what was going on? Or were you just trusting God? You couldn't figure it out with reason. You couldn't think about it and argue it in the realm of human wisdom. But you trusted God, who came and said, "I've chosen you, and I favored you, highly favored you, and you will bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what Christmas is about. And that is the first Christmas. Mary's Christmas was not like ours. There was a lot of hesitation, a lot of emotional struggle. There was things happening that just didn't normally happen, that had to be accepted by faith. There was so much that went on in Mary's life. I'm not even talking about Joseph yet. But Mary and all that she had to react to. But oh, the confirmation of this great truth when she went to see Elizabeth. And as soon as she entered into the house where Elizabeth was, Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, leapt within her womb. Wasn't even born yet. But leapt within her womb, confirming that truly this was Mary, God's chosen instrument to bring the Savior into the world. The confirmation was there. Did it make it any easier from day to day through the rest of her life? No. I can't imagine. I cannot. Those were hard days, difficult days. But the day also came which was harder. And that was when she had to stand at the foot of the cross and see her son die. Still not fully understanding. How could this possibly be God's favor? But it was. And she said it all in her Magnificat, if you will, when she said, "The Lord my Savior." Talking about this one who was coming, "The Lord my Savior." You and I must say the same thing. He is the Lord my Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you. These are hard things to talk about. It brings our mind to realities that we really don't often want to talk about or face. The hardness of it all, the harshness of it all, and yet the glory of it all in that a Savior was born. A Savior who would be king and will be king yet upon the throne of David. Father, as we go into this Christmas season, let us remember Mary's Christmas. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.